So welcome everybody to Admiral 2024 half year results. It's another year of strong results combined with sustained growth, increased margins, and continuous progress against our strategic objectives. I start with the key highlights, followed by Geraint, Cristina, and Costantino, who will tell us more about the key financials, UK Insurance, and international business, respectively. Scott, Admiral Money CEO, is also in the audience if you want to grab him after the presentation and ask him questions on our lending business that had another very strong semester. So, last year we celebrated our 30 years anniversary. So, we'll soon be celebrating our 20 years anniversary on London Stock Exchange. It has been a story of profitable growth with 10 times the number of customers and £5.6 billion of dividends shared with our shareholders since floating. And this is a story underpinned by a mix of technical competence, agility, but most of all, a unique culture. 6 months ago, we anticipated to be in a good position to capture more market share and margins. Today, we report 43% growth in turnover and 32% in pre-tax profits. Customer number increased 12% year-on-year to an eight-digit figure of 10.5 million. UK Motor Insurance is the main driver of both these achievements, leveraging on a stronger and earlier response than market to inflation. We also improved results in international business, but with a different mix than previous years. Beyond motor, we are continuing to build on a strong momentum and growing contribution to the bottom line. We made good progress on our strategic agenda too. We are strongly capitalized with a solvency ratio of 198%. And looking ahead, we continue to be in a good position in a softening market with inflation still elevated but reducing. As already mentioned, UK Motor Insurance was the biggest driver of our improved performance. In the last 6 months, we added more than 500,000 motor policies to our book, leveraging on strong competitive position on price comparison sites. This, combined with substantially higher average premiums, resulted in turnover growth over 50%. As price and inflation decrease, the market is becoming more competitive, and we expect slower growth in the second half. Overseas, our results were mixed. In Europe, the market is taking longer than UK to recover. We believe anyhow market condition will improve and reiterate our confidence for continuous profitable growth in the future. In Italy, there has been a higher than anticipated increase in the court values of reference for BI settlements. This impacted ConTe results that reported a small loss for the first time in the last 10 years. The team adopted a prudent approach in reserving, and we expect to return to profitability soon. On the other side, very strong performance in France, increasing margins and growing to more than 500,000 customers. Spain continued to make good progress too. Last, as a result of strong focus on loss ratio and expenses and strong execution of our Elephant team, our US business reported a profit in the first half. In terms of the way forward for Elephant, we're considering the right outcome for the business and our team, and we'll update you as soon as possible. But in the meantime, we remain very focused on protecting the bottom line. Looking now beyond motor, diversifying our portfolio is very important to us, not only to improve the resilience of the business to external trends, but also to better support the customers and to strengthen the core business. Customers with more product indeed have higher persistency and substantially higher lifetime value. Let's take a closer look at our more established business in UK beyond motor, so household lending and pet. Sorry, household and lending and travel. In the last 2 years, we almost doubled the turnover from 160 to 310 million and added almost 1 million customers. They delivered jointly 18 million of profits in the last 6 months with around 6% margins while growing at the same time almost 40% year-on-year. Cristina will tell us more later about the progress in household. Admiral Money also had a positive half year, proving its ability to adapt across different market conditions and continue to be on a strong path for further growth and increasing profitability. Our main focus looking ahead is on unlocking more commercial and pricing synergies with a single view of the customer and for the customer. At the same time, we continue to grow our younger business, like pet and small business insurance. Pet almost tripled customers in the last year to more than 100,000, and we are continuing to focus on transferring technical competence from the core to these newer lines of business. More than acquisition has now been completed, and we are happy to see how the teams are working together, and now we are starting the integration phase. This transaction has the potential to bring us close to double-digit market share, both in household and pet. For context, it took Admiral 17 years to reach the same goal in motor. So as mentioned, we continue to make progress at pace on our strategic objective. Just a few examples here. I already touched on diversification in the previous slide. We continue to stay close to key trends in mobility. Our electric vehicle book continues to grow and perform well. We also continue to evolve our offering for temporary insurance apps and subscription for the younger generations with our Vego brand. And we sign a partnership with Flock to bring real-time risk management to fleet insurance. Our foundational pillar is Admiral 2.0 to evolve our core and technical competence, leveraging on new data and technology. We're massively proud of how much we evolved our capabilities in the last 3-4 years. Our focus now is on unlocking the benefit of scale agile implementation for faster delivery and an investment done in data foundation, mainly for predictive AI applied to pricing and underwriting. We double indeed the number of machine learning models released, and having seen the strong benefit of new pricing model in UK, we're implementing it in our European business too. Next frontier will be Gen AI, where we're training, testing, learning, and moving in production successful pilots. Overall, we feel we have a very efficient, flexible platform to continue to evolve our business. But as you can see in the slide, anyhow, at the core of our strategy is our customer and our people. So we're very pleased to continue receiving great feedback from our customers. We top 2 place in Trustpilot score across UK and continental Europe, and the Net Promoter score across the group over 45. Our people and culture remain the key competitive advantage of the group, with recognition such as Great Place to Work in all geography and additional awards for well-being, diversity and innovation. Our targets for climate change have been approved by SBTi, and we confirm our commitment to reduce emission for Scope 1 and 2 by 70% by 2030. I'm pleased to report that a few days ago, our MSCI rating also improved to AAA. And together now to deep dive in our key financial result.
Thanks, Milena. Good morning, everyone. So I'll cover some of the main features of the results from a quite positive first half. I'll look at some of the highlights, the group and UK income statements, the key loss ratios, very healthy half-year capital position, and an increased interim dividend. So these are some of the highlights to start us off. As you've seen, profit was up quite significantly. We see continued positive back-year development, materially better current year combined ratio and higher net investment income. Pre-tax profit and earnings per share were both up around a third to £310 million and 77.5 pence per share. Solvency remains strong, just under 200%, and we're declaring a nearly 40% increase in the interim dividend to 71 pence per share, following our usual approach to dividends. Return on equity increases nicely to 45%, in line with the increased profits, despite some growth in the equity as the business has grown. On the bottom, we show the main turnover and customer metrics. Turnover in UK motor and home was up very strongly. In motor, we saw a combination of a further increase in average premium, coupled with a strong market share gain in H1, and a similar, if slightly less dramatic, story in home. Outside the UK, we saw modest reductions in turnover and customer numbers, as price increases impacted volumes. And in Admiral Money, our loans balances were back in line with the level of a year earlier. In aggregate across the group, customer numbers were up 12% and increased by more than 1 million over the last year to 10.5 million. As usual, we'll cover these metrics in more detail as we move throughout the presentation. Moving now to look at the positive first half profit. This slide shows the results by business versus the last H1. Starting in the U.K., where we see the biggest change, motor profit was 60 million higher. I'll cover that shortly. Home profit was up to 11 million, with an improved current period combined ratio and positive reserve releases. And remember that effectively all of the H1 profit last year was a one-off reinsurer profit commission, and so the improved performance is bigger than it seems. Turnover was nearly 40% higher, and good growth in home continues. Across the international businesses, the total results improved by just under 10 million, though the mix was a bit different, as you can see. Starting in Europe, the result there was impacted by a disappointing loss ratio in H1 in Italy, a big part of which was due to the update to the Milan court tables, which govern most injury claim settlements. The net impact of that was around 12 million pounds. ConTe.it made a loss in the first half. More positively, L'olivier in France grew turnover quite nicely, and the motor business more than doubled its profit. In Spain, the business continues to grow and diversify distribution, while the P&L was near break-even. Positive performance. Moving to the U.S., the Elephant result was significantly better than in H1 2023. Our team very much delivering on the objective to materially improve the bottom line, though the business is smaller. Admiral Money enjoyed another positive 6 months, making a profit of around 7 million. It's more than double last half year. Loan balances grew again in the first half after reducing in H2 last year, and all is generally very satisfactory. Good cost-income ratio, positive arrears trends, prudent credit loss provisions. Fuller detail is set out in the appendix. The loss from Admiral Pioneer more than halved as the result in Veygo improved, while that business continues to grow impressively, and we continue to invest modestly in Admiral Business. There are some notes on the page on the right-hand side on share scheme costs and the other items, and as usual, we include a fuller breakdown of the other items in the appendix, and we do call out one or two non-recurring items, as you can see. Next, we'll look at U.K. Motor in more detail. So this is a summarized income statement, observations on the main changes. Firstly, as we saw earlier, turnover was up very significantly, and that results from a combination of higher volumes and much higher average premiums. Secondly, as the investment portfolio is reinvested at higher yields, we see a further increase in the average rate of return on the assets, just under 4% for the first half, but also higher discount unwind, which partly offsets. Third, co-insurer profit commission. The lower amount this half is mainly because we're not recognizing profit commission on 2023 or 2024 years yet, and that's due to the still high booked ratios on 2021 and 2022. And then onto the ratios. We see good improvement in the reported loss and expense ratios, and that's predominantly driven by higher premiums offsetting the high claims inflation of the past couple of years. And then on the bottom right, we show the split of the reported loss ratio into the current year and the releases. There's quite a notable change here, with a significantly lower current year ratio versus last half. And then, despite being quite consistent in absolute terms, the contribution in percentage terms from releases is lower because of the much higher premiums. Let's look in a bit more detail at U.K. Motor loss ratios. Here we show our usual two charts. Both are on an underwriting year basis, and they're discounted. Best estimate on the left, booked on the right. And we show the undiscounted ratios are in the appendix, and they show consistent movements. My observations would be, firstly, we see very good improvement in the best estimate of 2023. That's in line with our expectation for that year in this half, given the pattern and the scale of the rate increases. And the booked ratio has also moved down, and we expect further improvement to come in 2023, possibly not to the same extent that we saw in the first half, which was very strong. Years before 2023 have continued to develop in line with our expectations, and 2020 and prior underwriting years should now be quite stable. Quick word on 2024. Obviously, it's quite early to comment on 2024, but you might observe on the right-hand side in the bullet that the first booking on that year is quite low. Don't extrapolate from it. It's likely to increase in the second half, and actually right now, based on what we see today, we don't expect much difference in the ultimate loss ratios for the 2023 and the 2024 underwriting years. On severity, we see signs of it easing in the first half, but we don't expect big changes this year. We haven't changed our view of 2023, and we expect high single digits inflation in the first half of 2024. Cristina will cover more on claims trends shortly. We have held the level of risk adjustment in the booked reserves flat at the half year. in line with 2023 year-end, and so we still sit in the upper end of our policy range. That's a very prudent position. And then finally, reserve releases, as I mentioned, in absolute terms are strong, quite comparable with the first half of 2023. And as usual, all being well, we expect significant releases to continue, including from some gradual reduction in the risk adjustment strength. The percentage, though, is very likely to be lower than in past years because of the very large increase in premiums. Moving now to look at capital and dividend. On the left, we show the bridge of the solvency ratio from full year 2023 to half year 2024. We see very significant capital generation in the first half due to the much improved current year performance. The impact of the higher capital requirement due to growth was around 25 points. As flagged, there was an 11-point reduction in the ratio as a result of completing the More Than acquisition, and then the final step is accounting for the interim dividend. And all that means quite a consistent and really healthy position at just under 200%. On the internal model, we have entered the pre-application process with our regulators, and that's a positive step towards making the full application for approval in due course. And then on the right, these are the dividend details. We've declared a dividend of 0.71 a share. It's about 213 million pounds in total, and it's roughly 92% of the first half profit after tax, and there's no change to report on our approach to dividends. To wrap up with a few key messages from the financials. After a challenging couple of years for claims costs, our strong pricing responses led to much improved loss and combined ratios and higher profitability. In the U.K., comfort with margins enabled us to reduce prices around the start of the year and take share. We've maintained a very cautious reserve position, and we end the half with a very healthy capital position, having declared a 40% increase in the interim dividend. Over to Cristina now to talk us through the U.K.
Thank you, Geraint. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk about the U.K. insurance results in more detail. Let me start by saying that we have had very good growth in all our products in the first half of the year, and having more products in the U.K. insurance is proving very positive for our customers. We're seeing strong retention and very healthy year-on-year growth. Also, for Admiral, having more data points per customer allow us to do a better risk selection. In this context, the More Than acquisition of the renewal rights for household and pet, I'm pleased to say it's going well. We have welcomed around 300 new colleagues at the start of the year, and we have started with renewing these customers. In household, we started a couple of weeks ago, and in pet, we will start in a few days. So as you can tell, very early days. Moving to motor pricing, for the market, we have included two graphs this time. The first graph in blue, this is ABI data that includes new business and renewal premiums, and the comparison that we're making is year-on-year. The second graph, it's for Confused, and it only includes new business prices, and the comparison we're making is quarter-on-quarter to be able to show you better the trends we're seeing in the first half. So as you can see, the Confused data indicates that prices have started to decrease in the first half of the year. The graph on the right, that is a graph that we show many times. It's time stop, which is the percentage of times we are cheapest on aggregators, and it's indexed to the beginning of 2022. If we start focusing on the second half of 2023, the market continued to increase its prices while we remained broadly flat, and that made us, or, you know, allow us to become very competitive. Also, at the start of the year, we decreased rates by mid-single digits, reflecting improved claims experience. And then from March this year, we're seeing competitors decreasing prices while we have stayed broadly flat, which meant we are becoming less competitive. Also, it's worth to highlight that the growth in the first half has been helped by strong retention and also by a very healthy new business market. Let's now move to motor claims and start by looking at the different aspects of damage inflation. In terms of frequency for the market, it continues to be around 10%-15% below pre-pandemic levels, even though when you look at miles driven, it's already very close to where we were before COVID. The reasons why frequency is small is there are three. The first one is increased technology in vehicles. It's a constant trend that we've seen for many years, reduces frequency. The second one is the change in driving habits. And then the third one, it's the Whiplash Regulation, which has reduced the frequency for small BI claims. In terms of claims inflation for the market, it remains elevated, although we're seeing certain signs that it is softening. For example, second-hand vehicle values have reduced in the last 12 months and have now stabilized. In terms of repair inflation, it also remains high, but it has reduced slightly thanks to increased repair capacity and parts availability. For the future, we expect repair inflation to continue high as vehicles increase the technology. And then for Admiral, our repair network is performing very well and is helping us to further strengthen our advantage versus the market. Moving to bodily injury, inflation is in line with our expectations and is largely restricted to increases to pain and suffering awards. We were pleased with the Supreme Court decision on Whiplash, and it was within our forecast, so we made no changes to our reserves. We hope settlements will increase given that we have now more certainty. We also anticipate an uplift in the Whiplash tariff in the coming 6-12 months. However, this will need government regulation, sorry, legislation. Also, we expect under Ogden clarity by no later than January 2025, but we have not adjusted our reserves or our prices so far. And we continue to monitor large BI trends, particular commercial carrier costs and increases to general damages, and we remain prudently reserved for potential inflationary pressures in this area. And now a few words on total loans. In line with the FCA multi-firm review on these claims, we have been reviewing and refining our processes. The work is still ongoing, but we don't expect it to have a significant impact on our accounts, and we have included an appropriate provision in our H1 results. Let's move to the household business. The market has started to see elevated inflation already in 2022, driven by increases in the cost of raw materials. And that was, you know, there was even more pressure because of the freeze event in December 2022. And that put a lot of pressure in our capacity for those claims, but also for the cost of freeze claims. Sorry, for the claims which are similar, like escape of water. The market responded by increasing rates after a long time of being broadly flat, leading to elevated levels of customer switching. Admiral increased rates slightly ahead of the market, both in 2023 and in the first half of 2024. And despite these strong increases, we continue to grow with a strong retention. We're very pleased with the development of our current loss year, with our current year loss ratio. It has improved 6 points year-on-year, driven by higher premiums earning through and weather development. And all of this has resulted in a good profit of 11 million in the first half, and it puts the household business in a strong position for the remainder of the year. Now, to finalize, let's look ahead, starting with motor. We're seeing prices to continue to decrease in the market in Q3, and we expect this trend to continue. However, it's hard for us to tell for how long, as we're seeing different strategies across competitors. For Admiral, we expect to continue growing for the rest of the year, but at a lower rate than in the first half. We're comfortable with our current margin, and we're very happy with the business we have written in the first half. We will continue, as always, monitoring trends in our own claims development and also in the market and adapt our rates accordingly. We anticipate that inflation could improve slightly over the second half. However, some volatility still remains. And for household, during the second half, we expect both market and Admiral to increase prices, although at a slower rate than in the first half. Our pricing, as in motor, will continue to reflect inflation, our internal and external views, weather, and other factors. We expect inflation to remain high in the second half, but to slow down a bit, always subject to weather uncertainty. As always, we remain focused on pricing discipline, prioritizing medium-term profitability, and maintaining a prudent approach to claims reserving. Now over to Costi to talk to us more about our international results.
Thank you, Cristina, and good morning, everyone. In Europe, we experienced lower motor profits driven by a deterioration of loss ratios in Italy during the first half of this year. However, at the same time, we have seen positive momentum in France, with a solid performance from L'Olivier, demonstrating accelerated profitability, and in Spain, with Admiral Seguros approaching breakeven. I'm pleased to report that our focus on efficiencies and expense management is paying dividends, as reflected in improved expense metrics. We continue to invest strategically in digital data and analytics, which is enhancing our competitive position. Moreover, we are making good progress with our diversification strategy in intermediary distribution in Italy and in Spain, as well as in household insurance in France. As anticipated in our last meeting, we are targeting the second quarter of 2025 for an in-depth presentation of our European businesses. More logistical details will be communicated in due course. In the United States, we have seen a significant improvement in performance, driven by a strong execution and a focus on margins. Moving to the next slides, let's discuss our European businesses. We have navigated the economic cycle with diligence, increasing prices ahead of both competitors and inflation. As a result, we have seen a slight reduction in our customer base alongside solid growth in turnover, reflecting our commitment to protecting margins over pursuing pure growth. While we observe improved inflation trends, the markets remain competitive and challenging. Starting with Italy, it's important to briefly provide some context. The market has faced severe challenges, reaching the negative peak of the cycle over the last 2 years. The drivers of this poor market performance include the record low average premium reached post-COVID, which has recovered more slowly than inflation, and the new guidelines for BI claim settlement cost issued by the Milan Court on June 24. In this context, ConTe.it has materially outperformed the direct market, but it has not been immune to this unprecedented situation. As you can see in the chart at the bottom left of the slide, we have taken a conservative reserving position and also strong actions with double-digit rate increases and portfolio optimization, and we are seeing our average premium grow strongly and faster than the market one. Therefore, we are confident that ConTe.it will recover its profitability over time, leveraging our proven competitive advantages that have made the business profitable every year for the last decade. On a positive note, higher profits from L'Olivier have resulted from strong loss ratio performance as price increases done in 2023 took effect, with customer numbers up 10% to over 500,000. We are also continuing to invest in our household product, aiming to build a solid direct-to-consumer multi-product business that is well recognized and appreciated by our customers. In Spain, Admiral Seguros had a positive first half, progressing towards breakeven thanks to sustained rate increases over the last 2 years, continued direct business profits, and significantly reduced losses on new investments in brokers and partnerships. Overall, our focus on efficiency continues to pay off, with motor customers per full-time employee up 3% year-on-year, despite a decrease in customer numbers. Finally, we have made good progress in our tech and data strategies, enhancing our competitive positioning in digital and analytics, with the goal of reinforcing risk selection and portfolio management capabilities, as well as gaining more efficiencies while better serving our customers. In conclusion, we are pleased with the overall progress made. Despite short-term results being impacted by tough market conditions in Italy, we remain confident in the potential of our European business to deliver meaningful returns to our shareholders. Moving on to the next slide, let's discuss Elephant, our U.S. business. As Milena mentioned, we are continuing to prioritize margins over growth. Elephant has shown materially improved performance by focusing on pricing, underwriting, claims, and expense management. The U.S. market has seen continued easing of inflation, but increased competition has driven direct market acquisition costs up. For the first half of 2024, we achieved a profit of $3.8 million compared to a loss of $12.8 million in the same period last year. This significant improvement was driven by price increases implemented in 2023, which are now taking effect, along with continued cost discipline, better risk selection, and strong execution. Despite adverse top-line performance due to reduced competitiveness and lower advertising spend, we remain focused on maintaining margins. Thank you, and I'll hand over to Milena for the wrap-up.
Good. Thanks, Costantino. So to summarize, another set of strong results with the record turnover, record customer number, and improved margin. Once again, we demonstrated agility, effective management across the cycle, anticipating market pricing strategy, and taking market share at the right time. We're building optionality for the future with new line of business growing profitably. We continue to strengthen our foundation for lean delivery and improve customer experience. We remain prudently reserved, strongly capitalized, and well-positioned for the future as uncertainty remains and our core market becomes more competitive. Our strength is our culture, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Admiral Crew that delivered this excellent set of results. So thanks a lot. That's all from us for now, and we're very happy to take any question. Please try to limit to two. Actually, do limit to two. And press and hold the button while talking. I think you were first. You need to hold and press the button while talking. We also have people connected in video. We'll get there. We start from the room. It's getting more complicated.
Yeah, sorry for breaking everything in here. It's James Pearce from Jefferies. Congratulations on the results today. So first question is just on the written expense ratio. I think that was 15.5% with your operating leverage improving. I guess, is there room for that to go down even further as you continue to grow, or is that kind of a good level to think about going forward? Second question is on the quota share results. So reinsurance recoveries have unwound on the 2021-2020 to 2023 underwriting years. Has your 2021 reinsurance mostly been commuted now? And just wondering whether you expect that to be a drag on earnings, well, whether you expect that drag on earnings to be a feature of the P&L in the near term, particularly on the 2022 underwriting year. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Geraint, do you want to?
Quota share.
I'm happy to take the first question if that's okay. The expense ratio has reduced mostly because of increasing premiums. Actually, the absolute expenses have increased. We continue to increase our investment in areas like technology, automation, analytics. And so it should bring some efficiencies, but I do not expect the expense ratio to decrease from this base.
On quota share, most of the contracts up to and including 2021 have been commuted now, I think. So you see in the accounts, we show you a table of breaking down the quota share result into underwriting years, and we show you the remaining asset by underwriting year as well, which I think is quite useful. So the most significant asset, as you can see, is on 2022. And so as we reduce the loss ratio on that year towards its ultimate, that will be we will unwind some of that asset. And I strongly dislike the drag on earnings comment, but it will be a charge to the P&L. On 2023 and 2024, you can see slightly different patterns. So 2023 has got a small asset because of the book ratio on that year, and 2024 has got no asset because of the book loss ratio on that year. So I think our expectation, I think, by underwriting year for the second half is a lower quota share charge, with 2022 being the main year that would contribute to it.
Thanks, James. Next.
Hi there, Faizan Lakhani from HSBC. I want to come back to your comment in the slides about comfort around the current margin. Given the fact that you still want to grow in H2, can I assume that means you felt like you overshot in H1? And effectively, what is the right level of current margin going forward for you? The second question is, in your report, you mention that you expect the 2024 underwriting year to develop less well than 2023. I just want to understand sort of the trajectory of that. Are you making a statement that there's less prudence than 2024 year? And you expect, I guess, to end up at a higher point, just to try and understand that. And effectively, given the fact that you expect 23 and 24 to be at a similar level, does that mean the profit commission tranches are sort of the same level as 2023 going forward? Thank you.
Yeah, so I think what we're talking about on 24 is not a different level of prudence or anything in our estimate of the ultimate or the booking. It's about the pattern of how it will develop. So 23 underwriting year developed with increasing average premiums throughout its earning. 24 will have a different profile because we've reduced the prices at the start of that underwriting year. So the second half of this year, we expect to write business at lower margins, higher loss ratios than the first half. And so in H2, we'd expect the book loss ratio to actually go up and then start to reduce towards its ultimate over time. What was the next part of the question? Sorry.
Comfort on the margin. What does it mean?
Do you want to take the right level of margin?
Yes, happy to. So, as mentioned, we're comfortable with the business written in the first half. But as Karen has mentioned, we expect in the second half that the loss ratio will increase, partly due to seasonality increases in inflation. As I mentioned, we maintain our prices broadly flat since the second half of last year. And given the level of uncertainty of the total loss whiplash, we always try to remain prudent and to take a good approach with the information we have at hand.
Thank you. Sorry, Freya, I think.
Thanks for taking my questions. Freya Kong from Bank of America. Can you talk a bit about how the risk mix has evolved in your UK motor book since it's grown so much in the half? Are you nervous about these, I guess, fairly large shifts in customer segments? And just following up on Faizan's question, how should we think about, I guess, if H2 is worse than H1 in terms of margins, the exit run rate for 2024? Thanks.
I think the exit rate really depends on what happens with claims inflation and our pricing throughout the second half of the year. So I think it's a bit early to call, and we'll respond and try and, as usual, optimise profitability for the medium term by adjusting the rates as we move through. So it's a bit early to comment on that, I think, at this point, 6 months ahead of it.
And in terms of risk mix, the biggest change is related to the share of new business in our total book. New business and renewals, you know, after Jeep, they have the same rates, but they don't have the same premium. Just to give you a very silly example, everybody's a year older at renewals than they were at new business. So the average premium at new business is higher, and we have a higher proportion given that we became more competitive, and secondly, that the new business market was particularly high in the first half. So that's the main change.
Thank you. And then Will.
Hi, it's Ivan Bokman from Barclays. Thank you very much, and great set of numbers. The first question, rather general. Having seen quite a few cycles right now, what do you think is different about this one? We've had the pricing reform, clearly, which does that change anything dramatically for you? Or maybe the cross-sell ability changes it differently? I mean, any thoughts on how the competitors are acting, whether it's rational or irrational, would also be quite helpful. The second question, just wanted to ask you about the maybe some clarification on that 2024 booked loss ratio. So it's 73% discounted right now. When you say it should be the same level as last year, are we talking about the first loss pick? Like, last year it was 86, so are we normalizing to that level? And maybe the final one, just maybe another clarification on how the releases by underwriting year come. If I look at the slide that you have there, it does appear that first half 24 had a much higher share of recent years, like 23, 24, compared to prior years of full years being more distributed. So any thoughts on that would be helpful. Thank you.
Maybe I take the general one, Geraint, and you're going to So in terms of the difference in this cycle versus the previous one, I think the main difference is that there was a consistent coexistence of a very strong external driver for the cycle. So inflation, we've seen present level of unprecedented level of inflation, extremely high, not in the last 30 years at this extent. The impact on the combined ratio of the market has been extreme. So the jump in combined ratio of the market from 21 to 22, we've never seen something of that size. And that's accumulated with the COVID. And so there was some wind of COVID and then the GIP reform. So we had three things at the same happening at the same times that were driven by external factors that were not entirely in the control of the industries. And so what's happened is that we've seen a cycle that is much sharper than usual. And then inflation in particular has a backward impact because it impacts all your reserves. So it's not only about adjusting pricing to expectation in terms of trends, frequency, severity, and so forth, or portfolio mix is really about impacting reserves at the same time. So I think the main difference has been much more violent than we've seen in the past. I hope we're not going to see the same situation soon, but I think the things together were quite powerful. If you look forward, I would say that probably the GIP reform may have an impact of having softer cycle going forward, because when you rebalance new business renewal price, there is an expectation in a normal situation to have a slightly higher retention in the market. So cycle may be slightly more soft because elasticity is much lower renewal than new business. So changing both price, you have a slightly softer impact at the same time. In terms of behavior, I would say that because the impact was so strong, people reacted at different time with different extent. So we've seen a bit more less order reaction of the market and a bit different strategies also to react to these events. So it has been has been more variegated than we're used to see. I would say that's probably the main things. And it's always, we always see different level of pickup in terms of price increase and price decrease. Our aim is always try to anticipate these trends, try to follow the data as close and as fast as possible, and so to anticipate pricing change versus market.
Maybe if I comment on competitors, I think you were asking. Similar to what I said last time, we're seeing very different strategies. Clearly, some competitors are putting more emphasis into growth, and we have been surprised by some of the intensity of the rating decreases since around March. Hard to tell if this will continue, but I think growth appetite is clearly very different in the market.
And then the underwriting years. So the comment I made was that 24 and 23 underwriting years, we expect, based on a lot of caveats, because we're halfway through 24, that they'll end up in a broadly similar place on an ultimate basis. So that's no comment on the kind of early booking patterns. And they will develop differently because of the patterns of average premiums going through those years. So there'll be different patterns, and they might well end up in a similar place. And then the pattern of reserve releases this first half, you're right, the 23 did contribute a lot. I think that's all related to the same reason. So we saw a very strong development of 23 underwriting year in the first half of the year. And so the absolute level of release was strong, driven by 23. We don't expect that to fully repeat in the second half. And the pounds number of releases in the first half was quite similar to last half one, but quite a lot lower than last H2. And that's because of 23 releasing very strongly. So moving forward, you'd expect that to kind of normalise out to not be quite so strong.
Sorry, Will, and then we go there.
Hey, Will Hardcastle, UBS. I fully appreciate it's too early to comment too much on the exit rate. I'll try for some assistance still. Christine, you flagged something on seasonality. Just any quantum around that 2H v 1H normally. And then if we think prices were down mid-single digit at the beginning of the year, inflation's obviously probably around that, a bit higher. There's a clear swing, and I guess that could be looking at, once we think about the claims weight on that, you know, higher single digit, mid to higher single digit. I guess all else equal, is that how we should be thinking about it with seasonality with that? But then is there any positive offset just thinking about that as well? I know that's a long question, sorry. Second one is just thinking, is there any change in the rhetoric on the timing of when we might hit midpoint of that reserve percentile? Is anything different, anything deviating in your thinking there versus when you set that the full year? Thanks.
I'm not sure exactly what the first question was, so I will try to comment a bit more about H1 and H2. I said seasonality. It's clear there are more claims in Q4 than there are before. We also have Q1, but normally from October, we see an increase, an uptake in frequency. So in general, when you look at our past years, the book loss ratio in H2 tends to increase. And then, as Kevin said, eventually it hits a peak and then it starts to normally reduce. Yeah. So that's the seasonality I was trying to explain. And you're completely right. We did a decrease in rates at the beginning of the year, and inflation continues to be elevated. Even if it's going to soften, it's just a slight reduction. So margin will deteriorate. So we will expect the loss ratio to decrease in the second half. But we're still in August. It's very early. We are seeing, we haven't yet seen the Ogden, for example, which would have an impact. There is some regulatory uncertainty around things like total loss and overactivity. And we will change our rates when and how we think appropriate. Did that cover the first question, or was there anything else?
Yeah, I think it didn't answer Will's question exactly, but it's the answer we're going to give, I think. Yeah, I think that's right. And we try and manage the cycle effectively, and as we've done in the past, and commenting on something that's going to happen in a few months' time is just not what we're going to do, I think. Risk adjustment percentile. Yeah, so we've kept it flat at the half year, and that's mainly because of the growth in the UK motor reserves, and it doesn't signal any discomfort or concern with the level of what type of claims we've got. We've just opted to hold it flat. Over time, we'd expect that to come down and sit on average around the 90th percentile, but I'd expect that to happen over a number of accounting periods, and it gets influenced by what's going on in the book. So yeah, no change in philosophy.
Hi, Darius Sikorskis, KBW. Two questions, please. So the first one is, I noticed you didn't include an expectation for forward inflation in the presentation. So what's that number? And can you give some color on the second quarter versus first quarter policy count growth in motor? Did you manage to grow policies when you kept the rates flat or not? And then the second question is, you've been looking at different solutions for Elephant for, if I'm not mistaken, a year and a half now. Could you just give a bit more color on what the comments mean? I mean, is there anything in the pipeline? Is there something like a 1H event, or is just a longer term sort of review that, you know, with nothing clear in sight? Thank you.
So, yeah, what's the first one? Sorry.
I'm happy to take it. Yeah. You ask about inflation, and I'm really sorry. I'm just going to repeat what we said. Basically, high single digits, slightly softening in the second half. It's just too much uncertainty to be more concrete. And just to give a reference, for 23, we said it was 10%. So it's a small, slight improvement. In terms of growth for the first quarter and second quarter, yes, you are right. I think we grew more in Q1 than Q2. Several things that happened. The first is new business market. So people trying to switch the number of quotes, it was bigger in Q1. Prices were at the peak. And when you get your renewal notice and you have a big increase from the previous year, that's when people shop. So very big new business market in Q1, bigger than in Q2. And then it was clear we increased rates at the beginning, we decreased rates at the beginning of the year. And when the market really started decreasing rates from March. So you see it in the graph. Our time stop has decreased, meaning our growth was bigger in Q1 and Q2. And I think this is important because when we talk about the remainder of the year, we expect this trend to continue. So we expect to continue to grow, but at a slower rate.
On Elephant, you're right. It's been a period of time we're looking at options for the business. For us, it's important to not rush in decision, do what is right for the business, for the shareholders, and for the team. It's not been an easy market, but we're making progress. We're continuing to look at it, and what really mattered to us also is that the team delivered very well, so the business is not losing money, it doesn't need more capital, and so we are focusing on continuing to protect the bottom line while continuing to assess what the right setup for the long term.
Hey, it's Daryl Gove from RBC. So the first question is on your quota share renewals. That 38%, I think, is due to be concluded in Q3. Could you talk about, you know, the level of share? Is it still at 38%? Because on one hand, I'm thinking the share of ancillaries, they've come down now. On the other hand, the underwriting has gone up. So kind of like the puts and takes. And how did you arrive at the final number, if you can share that now? The second question, could you share what your current retention level is? And maybe also speak more broadly about your expectations for customer switching at a market level, given that we've been in such a long period of switching. Is that going to be kind of a sticky behavior now, even as the pricing cycle comes, you know, softens at some stage? Thanks.
So first question is on the ancillary contribution to profitability and so forth. I guarantee you, or Christina wants to take this.
The first one I think was quota share. So yeah. The we've got 38% of quota share on the motor business. That is, some of that is expiring at the end of this year. Good progress being made on renewals. Don't expect big change.
And in terms of the market, what we have seen is when prices go up, people switch more. It's very clear. So in terms of retention for the market, we expect that as pricing decrease, retention will increase. And that has, they're both sides of the same coin. So in our view, we have seen the peak of the new business market, and it should decrease, and retention should increase. Milena, I was talking about Jeep before. I don't think we have yet really seen the impact of Jeep in retention and new business market size. If there are no more shocks, no more COVID, or very big unexpected inflation, then we should see the market to be much smaller in new business and bigger in retention. Just to highlight, given that we have the biggest book, a strong retention is something that we look forward to. Oh, sorry, we don't give those type of numbers. Apologies.
Good, and I think then we may go on the video.
Morning, Yudhish Chicory from Autonomous Research. My first question is on reserve releases. I think previously you were guiding to releases in the low 20s. With the higher premium base, we've already seen the effects in H1. So what is the new guidance going forward? And then secondly, on your solvency internal model, can you talk a bit what this pre-approval process looks like? I mean, how long does it last? What are the actual objectives there? Would you get a very good clarity in terms of, you know, the likelihood of your model being approved or not? Thank you.
Okay, the first one was about releases. So we'd expect our written premium to broadly double between 22 and 24. So the denominator in that equation has just changed totally. So I would guide that we will have strong absolute reserve releases moving forward because of our reserving approach. But the number in percentage terms will be closer to 10. So basically a halving, but still significant releases to come through. And then the internal model pre-application. So that's a process where the regulator takes a detailed look at certain parts of the application and certain parts of the model. We'd expect to get a good level of feedback on that by the end of the year. And then depending on what comes out of that process, obviously we'll determine what we do for next year and when the full application might follow.
Thank you. I think we take the last one, and then if there is anybody connected.
Hi there. I just wanted to follow up on two of the points that were made. One was on the PYD halving to 10%. But if your 2023 and 2024 underwriting year have a much bigger written premium base, I would expect the absolute reserve release to go up a lot for those as well. So just want to understand how you come back to 10%. The second is on the Solvency II. How do I think about capital generation in H2, given the fact that H1 is on the written basis and how that sort of feeds through in H2? And I guess in relation to that as well, your sensitivity to UK motor loss ratio has gone up significantly. Given the fact in your own admission, loss ratios are meant to come down, how much is already factored into Solvency II on that front? Thank you.
So I think reserve releases, 10%-ish was a broad comment. I think actually 10 to 15 is the corridor, something like that. And 23 and 24 will be big reserve years, and we'll have big reserve releases over time as they start to flow through. But the premium hits immediately. The reserves releases follow over time. So that's a fair observation. Capital generation in H2 will be lower than H1 unless we see really strong back-year reserve releases, which also contribute. But yet on a written basis, the business that we write in H2, as we've commented, will be lower than H1. All in, we don't see actually huge changes in solvency ratio, partly because we saw a 25% reduction this time because of the strong growth. If we grow less, you see less of a reduction. And the final point, sorry, was...
It was on the Solvency II sensitivities, yeah.
So when we... Our Solvency II own funds and Solvency II balance sheet is based on best estimate loss ratios, as we've published in the pack here. There tends to be some prudence in those recent years, as you know. So that will improve over time.
Yeah. Thank you. I think we'll have one question from home.
Dear participants, if you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press *11 on your telephone keypad. Now we're going to take our first question over the phone. And it comes from the line of Abid Hussain from Panmure Liberum. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Oh, hello. Morning, everyone. I think I've got a couple of questions. The first one is on pricing. I appreciate you sort of covered that to some extent already. There's sort of two sort of parts to the question. One is sort of pricing and backwards looking over the year. So year to date, claims inflation for you, what you've observed, has that sort of fallen by 5%? And is that why you were able to reduce prices by some 5%? Or was it simply that you overshot in terms of the price increases that you put through in 2H of last year? So just that sort of nuance in the backwards-looking piece, please. And then the second part of that is the forward-looking piece. How much do you think you could, so just sort of in a scenario analysis, how much do you think you could reduce your prices by further from here whilst inflation assumption is still running at 7 to 9%? So that's the sort of pricing question. And then the second one is on, just to follow up on the internal model. It feels like it's taken some time to get to where you are in terms of the pre-approval stage, and you're waiting for feedback. Just wondering why has it taken so long? Is it the sort of the complications of your business model, the sort of quota share, the reinsurance arrangements, or is it just sort of lack of people power at the PRA? Because I note sort of on the sort of the life insurers, a number of them have recently got approval on their internal models. So just wondering if that sort of bottleneck is starting to clear up, and is that why you're sort of more confident that you're moving through that chain? Thank you.
I'm going to briefly comment on the first one. On the pricing, if you look backward, what's happened is that already in 2023, 2022 and 2023, we increased the rates quite fast to follow up for inflation, the effect of unwinding COVID, and some final adjustment post-GIP. So we anticipated the market, and that put us in the position toward the very end of last year to be able to stop increased price. That's why we came a bit more competitive. Inflation was more stubborn than anticipated last year. So we have seen quite a substantial price increase, us and the market, more or less aligned. What happened is that, as Christina mentioned, there are some signs that inflation is slightly easing. It's material damage cost, labor availability, and some of the other element. And so we started gradually to decrease price. It's really a very day-to-day work, try to follow the trend as close as possible, or evolution of the trends, but also in terms of perspective view on the future in terms of inflation. So it's continual adjustment. But we've seen some possibility to improve the market share and to decrease price, and we're very happy with the margin we wrote in the first half, and we started again also in 2024 a bit earlier than the market. I don't think we suggested that we're going to decrease price further. I think Christina mentioned that in Q3 we've seen the market is decreasing price as done in Q2. and it's probably we expect this trend to continue for the market. But as for us, we'll continue to follow the trend we see in our claims, inflation, and other external inputs. And the other question was around reinsurance and the internal model.
So yeah, internal model. It's I think it's a good milestone. Our teams work very hard to get us to that point. So I think it's a good milestone to get into that with the regulator, working collaboratively with the regulator. And there's no headcount issues on either side, I would say. It has taken longer, and maybe I'll point to two reasons for that. Firstly, we got some feedback from the regulator a couple of years ago that we needed to change some aspects of the model and the documentation. So we've been doing that. And the second point is that our business has changed. So since we started the model development program a number of years back, the mix of our business has changed. And so we've increased the scope of the model to bring in other lines, notably household, which wasn't in the first part of the scope. And that takes some time. So those are the two reasons I'd point out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're going to take our next question. And it comes from the line of Anthony Yang from Goldman Sachs. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. The first question is just on the Ogden discount rate. Not sure if you could comment on any expectation or view on the Ogden discount rate at this stage. And then the second point is on the M&As. So just given your acquisition on the RSA's direct home and pet business, how should we think about M&As, say, by lines or geography for Admiral going forward? Thank you.
Just briefly comment. On Ogden, it's a bit early to say. We expect news by Jan 2025, as Christina mentioned. There are still discussions about the structure of the rate, if it's going to be single or dual. So it's a bit early to comment. As for us, we continue to be prudently reserved, but we didn't take any change into account yet in our pricing or our reserve. So we will wait the outcome in a few months. And RSA, do you want Christina to comment on RSA?
I think there was like a broader question about M&A strategy for the group.
Of business.
By lines of geography or lines of business.
Yes. So I would say, first of all, we're very happy that how we see the team working together with the acquisition of Morden. And that's give us a lot of comfort. But it's really very early stage. So as Christina mentioned, we're just starting renewal. We will continue to be open to consider other M&A opportunity wherever fit very well with our strategy, so in the line of business and place and countries in which we are expected to grow and we want to grow. We'll continue to consider one by one and see if it's the right fit and for us is the right choice compared to an organic growth. In terms of new geography, there is no plan for us to launch a new country, as has been the case for the last 10 years. We continue to be focused on where we are and try to develop, particularly in UK, a multi-product strategy and to make the business stronger and more profitable elsewhere. Just 1 second.
Thank you.
I think we have more one and then.
Thank you. Dear participants, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question over the phone, please press *11 on your telephone keypad.
Go on. Okay, so I think we're going to take that.
And we have a question come from line of Rhea Shah from Deutsche Bank. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, thank you. Just two questions left for me. So the first one, going back to the question around Ogden, I get that you haven't adjusted your pricing or reserves yet for that, but do you think the market is pushing through anything for Ogden into pricing, and that's also contributing to price decreases in the market since March? And then the second one on Europe, if we exclude the impact in Italy with the Milan tables, what do you think the underlying level of profits should do in the second half of the year and the outlook for that? And when do you think Spain will break even?
So thank you for the question. Costa, you're taking Italy. On the Ogden, it's really not for us to comment on what are the action in terms of pricing and reserving of our competitors. As we said, we are waiting more news in the next few months. We're in August, hopefully by January, we'll update our pricing and reserve if needed at that point. Costi?
So on Europe and on Italy, we have given in the slide an indication of the conservative reserving position that we have taken for the BI cost Milano tables. And that is, I think a good indication, although we have taken a conservative approach because the change has just happened in the last June, so you should not necessarily take this as a clear indication for H2. But I think the key message is that the actions we have taken, we believe that will earn through and will restore the profitability in Italy soon, and therefore we continue to grow the business and the profit in Europe. And Spain commented it's almost at break-even, so it's very close. It's almost there, and it's a function of the increased profitability of the direct business and the reduced losses or investments in the new initiatives, meaning distribution diversification in intermediaries and the partnership with ING Bank.
Thank you. I think that's it for today. Thank you very much for your time, attention, and questions, and we'll be around another 10-15 minutes in case you have more. Thanks.